As the Secretary said, we're in the 10th, moving into the 11th day of Operation Epic Fury. The joint force remains focused on three military objectives. Continue to destroy Iranian ballistic missiles and drone capability in order to prevent attacks on the U.S. and others throughout the region. And this means attacking launch sites, command and control nodes, stockpiles before they can threaten our personnel, our facilities, and others.
So yesterday, and we carried this actual statement, part of it, during the press conference the Pentagon did, where you have Secretary of War Pete Hegseth and, of course, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Dan Kane, giving their update on the war against Iran. And the reason I wanted to share this with you is because, you know, for any war, you've always got the reasons and the goals, and you have parameters for success or not, timeline, what are you trying to accomplish, obviously, how do we know we've gotten there, benchmarks and measurements. I mean, these are all things that we talk about in modern war because, you know, we learned from the example, particularly painful example of Vietnam, that when, you know, once you start it, there's always a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and then, God, all of a sudden, we're in a full-fledged undeclared war. You know, like it's, you know, or you know, other examples abound as well. And so, and how do you get out and how do you end and how do you know whether you're winning or losing and how do you define these things? And so when it comes to Iran, the justification has been, look at how bad of an actor Iran has been to us over the years. Look at how bad of an actor they have been to the region over the years and their ongoing interest in developing a nuclear program, which threatens global stability, let alone regional stability and millions of lives. And their willingness to develop a non-nuclear ballistic missile defense capability, retaliatory capability that functions as a nuclear deterrence would in order to protect them from any subsequent invasion, which allows them to build a nuclear weapon. They want to be on the path to North Korea. That's the, those are the justifications of the war, have to prevent that from happening. Okay. So if that's the reason for going, then what's the goal? What are we trying to accomplish? Well, point one is we're trying to prevent their ability to project power outside of their region, outside of their geography, through missiles and drones. That's number one, because that's the primary nature of the threat, non-nuclear projection of power, which, of course, they were going to use in order to develop nuclear so they can project or use nuclear power, we would expect. So second point, second thing we're trying to accomplish.
Second, we continue to strike the Iranian Navy and their capabilities in order to do things like sustain movement through the Straits of Hormuz.
Okay, Navy, because Navy is there also their ability to project and use power against others, menace and threaten, harass, you know, damage shipping going through the Straits of Hormuz, which, of course, is 20% of the world's oil goes through there. And, you know, they said, we're going to lay mines. And we said, we'll blow up all your mine layers, 16 ships we've destroyed. They say they've, you know, we think they've lain a few in there. The question now about the safety of shipping is kind of open. President Trump has said the Navy would escort ships. We would provide insurance for ships that want to transit. This is the whole Lloyd's of London thing. Meanwhile, the situation actually on the water right now is we are not providing escorts and we are not yet providing insurance. That's sort of a, we'd like to do this, but the situation doesn't justify it. How many ships would that take? What would the roles be? What kind of capabilities do you need to be safe in that area to accompany ships? Because those are slow-going ships and naval vessels. It's a pinched area. I mean, you know, it's not the kind of place we prefer to operate in if we don't have to. So there's a lot of concerns, but first step is if we can take out their Navy, that's another form of power projection abuse that they, and threatening regional stability and shipping, you know, capability. That's another way in which they have made the world worse, and we're going to take away their ability to do it. Number three, this is the interesting one. Pay attention.
And third, we continue to start working on and going deeper into Iran's military and industrial base in order to prevent the regime from being able to attack Americans, our interests, and our partners for years to come and project power outside their borders. This means servicing production facilities, research and development sites, and infrastructure.
Now, when you first hear that, what it probably sounds like is, okay, you know, we got to destroy their ability to make the missiles and make the drones and make the ships. I mean, okay, duh. There's no point in destroying the missiles and the drones and the ships if they can then make more. So destroy the missiles and the drones and the ships and their ability to make missiles and drones and ships. Okay, that, I mean, that sounds fairly good. But what does it actually take to destroy somebody's ability to make missiles, drones, and ships. It's not just knocking out the missile factory, because, you know, they can make another factory. It's not just knocking out the shipyard, because they could. I mean, that's a little harder, okay, to build a shipyard, but they could, you know. And drones, I mean, you can make those in the basement. You know, you don't even need a factory. They could make those almost anywhere, right? I mean, not the big ones, but, you know, that's the point is, even if you take out the manufacturing capacity, you've still got rail lines, you've still got power lines, you've still got, you know, people who know how to do it. You've got supply chains for parts, explosives, you know, all the things that go into, well, you know, they blew up that factory. Well, let's just go make a different factory. And since we've been in the habit of making things illegally underground, like at our nuclear facility, we're kind of accustomed to thinking about how to make things and in not easy to observe ways. So in order to prevent them from making missiles, drones, and ships, we have to destroy an awful lot of infrastructure. Talk more about that in just a second. Jordan Glass is sitting in this morning for John, who's out sick. Jordan has Traffic on the Fives.
This Traffic on the Fives brought to you by Pensacola Navy Days Gala. You can celebrate our Navy heritage at the Pensacola Navy Days Night at the Museum Gala happening Friday, May 8th at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Enjoy cocktails, dancing, and a stunning black tie setting while honoring the men and women who serve our nation. Individual tickets are available now, and you can save 20% with the promo code EARLYBIRD now through March 31st. Reserve your seat and get details today. PensacolaNavyDays.org. I-10, 110 looking good. 3 mile bridge flowing smoothly. Really, the only slowdown seen right now is heading on to the main gate for NAS Pensacola. Those are backed up past the Shell station, so definitely going to be a few minutes for you there. If you see anything else, let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the Fives.
It's almost like you've done that before.
A little bit. A little bit.
How long have you been doing the morning traffic for Cat Pack Morning Show on Cat Country
98.7?
7 years?
I think four now.
Four, yeah, now, it started in 2022. And you went, yeah, then you came back, yeah, again. Yeah. Okay. So Jordan works middays over at Cat Country at 10 to 2.
Yep, that's it.
And then he also does the traffic in the mornings, and he's part of the Cat Pack Morning, award winning Cat Pack Morning Show.
That's right.
Fantastically award winning. Anyway, so good job. And he'll be here all morning, and hopefully not tomorrow, not because I don't want you, but because I hope John is healthy.
Right. Yes. Hope he's feeling better for sure. Yeah.
Also,
absolutely.
Because I know Brent wants you over there.
Also, that alarm was early this morning.
I know. Yeah. No, it's not good. Okay. So back to the conversation about what are our goals and objectives in this. It sounds like a relatively innocuous thing, and of course, one of the things that a good 4-star is capable of doing is saying a most amazing thing in the most ordinary tone. Kind of like when, you know, the Admiral answers Hank Johnson, you know, about whether Guam's going to tip over if we put more Marines on it. It's just one of the all-time best moments in all of the history of politics in America. And the Admiral, to his great credit, says, well, sir, we just don't believe that that's a concern of ours. You know, like, it just doesn't even bat an eye, you know? Well, same thing here. I mean, what General Kane said is amazing. This is a treat them like they're Germany, World War II. We're going to make them farmers and ranchers, because you have to take out machine tools, electric power, transport, fuel, metallurgy, electronics, repair capability, fiscal and industrial foundation, military recovery. Because, you know, if you destroy a factory, they build another factory. Okay, so you destroy the ability to make the factory, but that means destroying the ability to finance the factory and the ability to make the parts to make the factory and the ability to, I mean, you know, where does it end and how much time do you actually get in eradicating somebody's capability to wage war? Like, that is a big project. Can that project be done by, you know, naval and Air Force aviation alone? Probably not. I mean, this is a massive thing. But remember, the goal in Germany wasn't just to stop the Germans. It was to degrade their ability to reproduce the German war machine. And that's the kind of objective that is being stated here. And listen, I do not disagree with the objective. Who could? I mean, the Iranians have proved that stop them once, they'd start again. Stop them twice, they start again. Stop them three, four, five. You know, I mean, they're unwilling to stop the development of what they want. Well, so take away their ability to do it. You know, you can have your Islamo-fascist government if you must, but you're not going to have, you know, machine tools, right? Which, of course, is going to have economic consequences across the board, not just for their ability to wage war. But, you know, if you can't be trusted with guns, you can't be trusted with machine tools. So, you know, anyway, So this is, I was reading a very good article at responsiblestatecraft.org by Steve Simon. He was basically saying, his analysis was, this is the Morgenthau Doctrine, you know, from Germany, that it sounds good, but it doesn't seem likely without a massive change in scale of operations of this war. And you either have the general wandering from message discipline in saying something like this, or you have an intent to do way more than we're doing with just an air campaign. It's how much can you really do with just this in terms of stopping the capability to build the things that they want? And basically the analysis here is, well, it would take a lot more than just what we're willing to put in. And so how far are we willing to go, and how much time can we actually get? You know, can we put them back to 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years from being able to build enough offensive ability to project power? And I don't have the answer to these questions. I'm just, you know, we're a democracy. And in a democracy, the obligation of the citizens to think about all the things that you make votes for. We're going to be voting people in here in primaries soon and, you know, and in general elections in, 8 months. So, we're, you know, one of the factors in elections is going to be the war, obviously. The economy, social issues, all the rest. But deciding what you believe about this war is going to be a big part of it, and having adult conversations about what that means, because who you elect makes a difference in terms of what happens. You know, if, for example, you support Trump and this war, among other things, maybe you vote for Republicans and they continue what we're doing right now. They'll have to have a war powers declaration within, 48 days or something like that. But let's say they do. Well, if you have Democrats, maybe they say no, right? I mean, so this is something that the electorate has to start thinking about. 437s, and of course, we care because we're a country. We care about their people. We care about our military that, of course, so many of them train here. All of these things combined to, you know, we should really be thinking more seriously about this than maybe we have before. And so I appreciate that, a bit of analysis and observation about what is the objective of this war. 622 on News Radio 92.3. If you are considering that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot. They sell about half every month. So, you know, if you go today and you go again in a month, about half those cars will be gone. Vans, trucks, SUVs, whatever. And new ones will be in. You know, I mean, not brand new, but, you know, new to them, which is new to you. Typically, cars that have had one or possibly two owners, maybe one, two, three, maybe 4 years young, low miles, you know, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles is kind of their sweet spot. That's what they specialize in. Good prices, cars they stand behind. Every car they sell is warranted up to 100,000 miles or 10 years. No extra costs. That's just because they're only selling good quality cars. So go there and ask them. In fact, honestly, they're the kind of place you can ask them for their advice. Like, think of them as a car guidance counselor instead of like the adversary that you're trying to survive an encounter with them like a normal used car place. Frontier's not like that. They are trying to be the place that you want to go again and again, not the kind of place that you thank God escaped there the one time with something and your skin intact. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh food daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hurricane season begins June 1st, but preparation starts now. Florida's severe weather season is underway, and the same steps that help you prepare for hurricanes, making a plan, gathering supplies, and staying informed, also help protect you during severe weather today. For simple, step-by-step guidance, visit FloridaMakeAPlan.com. One plan can help you prepare for many storms. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
The pen is blue. The pen is blue!
So, Jordan, I have been... I have a thing where I like to take musicians or bands that I like and know some of their music, and I like to go listen to all of their albums and find out which albums I don't know or which albums I'm always looking for good bumper music, you know, what songs that I could play that maybe people know or don't know or whatever. My most recent one is Three Doors Down.
Okay.
Because, you know, they've got a handful of really well-known songs like Kryptonite, you know, and that album is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And then I listen to the other albums. And you know the thing I cannot understand about bands? Actually, let's do Traffic on the Fives real quick. Go ahead. You got that for us.
Yeah, roads are still looking pretty good unless you're heading on to the main gate for NAS Pensacola. That's backed up past the Shell station this morning. So there's going to be a few minutes for you there. If you see anything else, add to it. Let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thank you so much. Doing great, by the way. Thank you for filling in today.
Of course.
So the thing that has always driven me crazy is a band that'll make like a great song, and then you go listen to the album, you're like, oh, oh God, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, how does that happen? And it's so common. But the other one that always baffles me is you get bands that'll make a great album. And, you know, I can forgive a song or two on an album, of course. You know, you do, I mean, any song is better than anything I make. But if you do, like, five great songs and you do two or three that are kind of, okay, that's still a good album. It's worth owning. But I'm amazed by bands that will produce a great album. Like Three Doors Down's first album is a fantastic album. Their second album is not, I mean, it's terrible. It's not even worth making a coaster out of it. You know, like it's bad.
Wow.
But then the third album is really good again. And the fourth album is terrible. It's awful. And then
keeping
the fifth
people
album,
on their toes, man.
And then the fifth album is really good. And I'm like, what? How is, you know, I mean, I know inconsistency over, and I know second album blues, you know, like you kind of, you know, you've been playing your first album material for like 10 years and, you know, bars and whatnot, and you practice it and it's all the best stuff. And, oh, crap, we got to make another one, you know. And so, but how do you do great and then terrible and great and then terrible and then pretty good? I mean, I don't, that's my just self journey over here. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. The State Department reporting that more than 40,000 Americans have now returned to the U.S. from the Middle East. Meanwhile, they say they've also helped over 27,000 Americans abroad by offering security guidance and travel assistance. The Pentagon saying the military has now destroyed 16 Iranian mine-laying vessels. President Trump posting about some of that yesterday on Truth Social, saying the mine-laying boats and ships had been hit and completely destroyed. This follows reports that Iran was going to be laying mines in the Strait of Hormuz to disrupt oil moving through the region. And House Speaker Mike Johnson not condemning anti-Muslim remarks made by two Republican congressmen. Johnson suggesting the men weren't talking about Muslims in general, but rather efforts to impose Islamic Sharia law in the United States.
All right. Thanks so much, David. I appreciate it. 437-1620. Oh, do you see this text, Jordan? Somebody says, 437-1620. Jordan, please use this time to help Andrew come into the... And, you know, you get like a preview of a text when you first... And it's not... Yeah. And I thought it was to help me come into more modern music.
No.
You know, help me over my grandpa rock. And this... No. Help him come into the country music world.
Yeah, no, I'll take care of that. Next time we're talking about like voting or something, we'll get a little George Strait check, yes or no. I'm just getting a look. It's like, man, maybe.
Let me just
say John will be back tomorrow.
In this building, we have plenty enough country music all the time. The primary music on the PA and in the building is Cat Country.
That's right, yeah.
Because Cat Country is the big station, you know, the first station that we had, so... let's just say at the parades, I get all the country music I can stand for the next 4 or 5 months until the next parade. All right. Let's see. I think we have Brad Baker's going to be up next, county administrator, talking about the agenda for this week. If not that, then something else good. Every day I have so much stuff to talk about with you. Today is no different. Don Gates, super disappointed with the legislative session, says we ought to be embarrassed by it. We'll talk about that coming up.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. U.S. forces responding after Iran planted mines in the Strait of Hormuz.
U.S. Central Command taking offensive action against this threat to global shipping lanes, saying that they struck at least 16 mine lane vessels belonging to the Iranian regime. As this continues, it's a major threat to the global shipping lanes, understanding that 20% of the world's oil passes through this area.
Fox's Trey Yanks in Tel Aviv. Three ships in the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz were struck in separate incidents. A severe storm battering at least 10 states, including Illinois. A massive tornado was seen tearing through Kankakee, Illinois, south of Chicago. Fox Weather's Katie Byrne is there.
This is a city that saw some of the worst damage with that tornado that tore through right around dinner time. Officials say at least 7 people were hurt when this tornado moved through. They don't believe anyone is missing.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 70 degrees this morning, cloudy skies, and we will get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. First, looking at our headlines today, new study out on the Pensacola Bay Center shows $75 million in available bonding might not go very far. Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday at his press conference saying the money wouldn't cover renovation alone, much less building those new facilities that have been proposed.
The conversation that we have heard, I'm not part of, but that we've heard is this $75-ish million bonding capability. Well, if you look at the numbers, it's pretty clear that $75 million isn't going to go a whole heck of a long way in terms of certainly a new facility, much less if that's even enough to cover renovation.
The 130-page CRA-funded study explores public-private partnerships and federal funding mechanisms, including the Build America Better program. Survey results from over 1,900 respondents showed a strong preference for building a convention center at the location. The study will be presented at a joint meeting between the City Council and the County Board on April 16th. Well, spring break traffic is starting to pick up at the airport. Director Matt Coughlin says early this week they saw more than 10,000 total passengers moving through the terminal.
You're starting to see them, so I think it's really going to start picking up next week. So you'll see the demographic change a little bit coming through, and it's going to get busy around here. I think you saw it with the traffic around town last weekend, and so you're probably going to see it here real soon here at the airport.
Coughlin says the airport used to have some slower shoulder seasons, but now sees pretty much high numbers year round. The only slow months, Coughlin said, were January and February. Well, commissioners in Orange County voted against allowing ICE to open a detention facility in an Orlando warehouse that would hold around 1,500 inmates. Mayor Jerry Deming says that facility would be incompatible with community values and strain water and sewer capacity. The vote, though, is non-binding. The federal government can still open that facility if they want to. Officials are clarifying that a brown, gooey substance that's been showing up along Opal Beach near Fort Pickens is an algae and not an oil. Concerns were spreading on social media recently after a local fisherman said it looked, smelled, and felt like an oil product, and he had heard it could be linked to a recent Louisiana oil spill. Escambia County Marine Resources Manager Robert Turpin says it's actually filamentous algae washed ashore by onshore winds during the spring growing season. He also says not to worry because it's not harmful. Officials say if you spot anything suspicious on the beach, though, avoid it and contact Escambia County Marine Resources. Well, new rules and regulations for e-bike riders could be coming. News Radio's Chris Bryan says there's a speed limit now in place.
E-bike riders will have to slow down under a bill approved by the Florida legislature. The law has established a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit for e-bikes within 50 feet of a pedestrian. The bill also establishes a task force to track e-bike traffic incidents, injuries, and fatalities. Barring a veto, the changes will go into effect as soon as either Governor DeSantis signs the bill into law or it becomes law without his signature. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. 6:35 at News Radio, and let's check in with Jordan for a look at our traffic on the fives.
Yeah, thank you, David. Roads still looking pretty good right now. I-10, 110, 3-mile bridge flowing smoothly, but still seeing those slowdowns well past the Shell station, stretching almost all the way back to Gulf Beach Highway now for getting on to NAS Pensacola. So definitely going to be some big-time backups for you there. If you see anything else, let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some cloudy skies today with a high near 78 degrees. Overnight tonight, showers and thunderstorms move in after midnight. Low in threat of severe weather, rain chances clearing up as you head into Thursday morning. Lows tonight near 58 degrees, and by Thursday, storms clearing out by 6 a.m., high near 67. Going into Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48 degrees, and Friday, sunny skies, high near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 71 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies across the area. Our next news at 7, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Scordo with Your Money Now. India's restaurants are under threat from the liquefied petroleum gas supply crunch caused by the Iran war. LPG is used as cooking fuel, causing a shortage for restaurants and hotels. About 90% of these imports move through the Strait of Hormuz. Moltbook, the viral social media platform exclusively for AI agents, was acquired by Meta, the Facebook parent company. Moltbook was built off of OpenClaw, a separate project that was marketed as the AI that actually does things. OpenClaw went viral for its agent's ability to complete tasks on users' operating systems. NVIDIA has made a significant investment in Mira Murati's Thinking Machine Labs. As part of the partnership, Thinking Machine Labs has also agreed to deploy at least 1 gigawatt of NVIDIA's Vera Rubin systems. No details were available about the size of NVIDIA's investment. And on Wall Street, futures are down. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials finished down 34 points, the NASDAQ up 1, and the S&P 500 down 14. And that's Your Money Now.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text SPARK to 215215 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPARK to 215215. That's SPARK to 215215.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new MyECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download MyECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Going to get into the next farewell remark from Representative Andrade. Representative Andrade, you are recognized, sir.
Oh, man. Farewell speeches are, well, they're something, okay? Alex Andrade has been in the State House for, this is his eighth session. So he's done, termed out, it's all over. I mean, he still obviously finishes this session, and then there's going to be at least one special session and budget, and, I mean, you know, who knows? They could be doing a lot more legislating this year. We'll see. But yesterday he gave his farewell speech. And Jordan, you're filling in for John Pickens this morning. Have you met Alex? Do you know Alex Andrade at all?
I have. I think we've met before. Yeah.
Okay. All right. He's your age. He's your vintage.
Okay.
You know, he's a little older. I think he's 40.
I like that. He's your vintage.
You're vintage. Yeah. You know, well aged. So not a kid anymore, but, you know, not yet my age, so not old. All right. This, without a lot of editorializing, is Alex Andrade's farewell speech. I mean, we won't play it straight through, but you'll see. You'll understand.
So for years, I've held this romantic view of representative democracy, where representatives' role, as our founders envisioned, is to be the faithful echo of the voice of the people. And our separate branches and powers allow the ambitions of one man to counteract the ambitions of another.
God, that is such a great way to describe our legislative system and the checks and balances between the branches. The idea being that selfish people over here and selfish people over here operating within a system where they work to stop each other and government doesn't do much, therefore it doesn't do much bad. I mean, that's a really good description. And Alex has a tremendously thoughtful view of American democracy. It's fascinating. Now, you may notice a little bit of tremble in the voice. I'm a little reluctant to tell you the why, but I will tell you because it'll help you. Let's hear his first comment, and then I'll tell you why in a second.
The seeds of the greatest nation the world has ever seen were sown by a group of men who were self-aware enough to know that we are all deeply flawed human beings.
Yeah, Christian sinners, right?
The brilliance of that simple concept, harnessing our intrinsic flaws for the good of our nation, has always struck me. Every day I've walked through those doors, I felt a deep sense of awe that I get to play the smallest role in a system based on those principles. One that embraces our flaws and strives to achieve something greater than ourselves.
Capitalist democracy is really the most amazing thing. Capitalism rewards you for pretending to be good. Good meaning that you serve other people's needs. How do you know you're serving their needs? Because they pay you. I mean, it's capitalism. Capitalism is a system that takes selfish people and incentivizes them to behave like they're loving people, and then we reward them for pretending to be loving by helping other people, and that's how you make a living. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And democracy, and especially the kind of democracy that we do here, is also predicated on people being selfish and, you know, not wanting to pay more and give up their powers and their rights and wanting to protect themselves from that. Therefore, they will come together and vote down the bad ideas that a few people come up with to take power and rights for themselves, and collectively over time that's supposed to work. Now there's flaws in the system too, but he's exactly his assessment of, you know, sinners, sinful people, selfish people, people who can't be trusted with power running the system is exactly what our system was designed to work with, based on the Christian view of the person as fallen, as not perfect, as, you know, selfish and sinful and wicked. And what can you do with those kind of people to have a decent government? Well, that's the idea.
This House will convene in November, and my nameplate will no longer be on this floor. Yet the budget will still be balanced, and policies improving the lives of all Floridians will still be debated, passed, and signed into law. My presence here is not necessary for Florida to prosper, and more than that, the Florida House did not need my presence to achieve all that it has the past 8 years.
The House will go on without him. The House would have gone on without him. I love this way of thinking about it. And it is, you know, you've invested so much of your life in making something good. And then to realize, like, you know, I mean, I do my best to make this show great, to make this station great. If I get into a car wreck and die tomorrow, guess what? Somebody else will do the show. You know, and if I had never come here, somebody else would have done the show. You know, maybe it's better because of me. I mean, I like to think it's significantly better because of me. But still, you know, the show would have gone on. The show will go on. And that's an interesting observation. He's right.
I know the Panhandle and the state will be well represented by all of you who are raising your hand to continue to serve as that faithful echo of the voice of our people. Led by Representatives Garrison, Kennedy, and Redondo, and also Representative Hunchowski and Representative Franklin. There's no doubt in my mind you all will achieve great things for the people of Florida.
Now, here's where you start to get the, like, almost breaking down moment. And I just want you to hear it. I'm gonna let the explanation sit for a second. It'll be two clips away. You'll find out why in two clips, okay? So just trust me. There's a good reason. Jordan Glass has traffic on the fives first.
And this traffic on the fives brought to you by BathFitter.com. They are the leader in bathroom innovation. As far as the roads are going right now, we are still seeing those slowdowns heading to the main gate of NAS Pensacola, well past the Shell station this morning. So definitely going to be a few minutes for you there getting on to base. If you see anything else, 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jordan. So Alex Andrade, as you can hear, is like right on the verge of losing it when he's doing his farewell speech yesterday. I personally love that. I think that people who are passionate have strong emotion, and sometimes it gets the better of them or almost gets the better of them. I would have been probably the same thing if I'd have been in his shoes. There's actually a particular reason why he's struggling extra hard yesterday, but I'll let him tell you why in just a second. Meanwhile,
in our first session, Matt Gaetz told a group of us that the Florida House is the greatest deliberative body in the history of the world. And after 8 years of hearing Wyman Duggan repeat that phrase with more gravitas than I could ever muster, I understand what he meant. I've had the privilege of learning from and occasionally arguing with countless people I look up to. Men and women who led with integrity and who took the time to work with me, even while dealing with far greater issues than I brought to them. People like Chris Sprouse, Aaron Grawl, Ray Rodriguez, Chris Latvala, Jay Trumbull, Jerry Williamson, Jimmy Petronas, Blazing Goldglia, Clay Ingram, Halsey Bashirs, Don Gaetz, Jeff Brandis, Rob Bradley, and so many more.
But there's one in particular that really changed his life.
But members, one of the greatest privileges I've had was developing an unlikely friendship with my senator in my first 6 years in office, Doug Broxton. I hope every one of you have the opportunity to serve alongside a man like him while representing your district. Senator Broxton set the standard for me of what it means to be a Christ follower in this role, who leads with grace and wisdom and humility. Characteristics I've tried to emulate but could never hope to match.
Now, I know at this point, what you're probably thinking is, I get being emotional. I get caring. It's adorable. It's great. It's a little much. I mean, if you're like me, I had that same reaction. Come on, Alex. Pull it together, man. Well, you know why he was having such a hard time? After having gone through all the stuff that he's gone through the last couple of years, particularly with DeSantis and Uthmeyer and media stuff before that and adversarial contest before that and all the things. Okay. And I mean, I don't know that all the frustrations and challenges of dealing with the city of Milton, are bagged into this. Okay. But he's no longer the attorney for the city of Milton, but he's thinking about all of these things and he's given his farewell speech. And guess what he did not expect to happen for his farewell speech?
Parents surprised me, guys. They snuck up from South Florida. So if I'm a little shaken early, it's their fault.
His parents didn't tell him they were coming, and they were ushered in to the balcony like the moment he started speaking. So he's getting ready to give a speech, and he's got his emotions and thank yous and philosophical observations, and then all of a sudden, your parents who live 7 hours away are in the audience. Oh. I mean, I'm amazed he kept it together as well as he did, because I would have certainly, been losing it.
But to Tom Bickle and Anthony Pettacini, thank you for taking a chance on a a 20-something from Pensacola. Your patience, advice, and guidance has been invaluable, and I'm grateful for your friendship. To Chris Dorworth and my former Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for treating me with respect I had not earned. As a young, often insecure representative, you treating me like I belonged impacted me more than you know.
And by the way, for those who don't know Alex or haven't followed or maybe are new to the show or haven't heard me say it, I think Alex is one of the most effective legislators that we've ever had. He's incredibly effective, and he's a man of honor and principle. And I know he's, you know, not everybody's taste. I get it, you know, and he offends people. I get it. But, you know, if I want to know something, I'll call Alex. And Alex, to the best of my knowledge, has never, ever told me anything that was incorrect. And he has many times told me things that I did not know yet or understand a depth of knowledge about something. And if he doesn't know, he says that. So anyway, I had tremendous respect for Alex Andrade as a person and as a legislator. He's a friend, a dear, dear friend. Anyway, if you ever wonder why I have him on every Friday in session, it's because of that. Because I know he knows, and he's a great resource. Anyway, it's not meant to be a slight to anybody else. It's just I found, you know, I go to the people that I really, really can count on. And I have good relationships with everybody else in our legislature, too. But, you know, particularly with Alex. Anyway, this is not my favorite line. My favorite line is coming. You'll like it. But this is a good line.
I had a list of names I wanted to thank in our lobby corps, like Anath Prasad, Chris Dawson, and Carol Bowen. But after checking with a few of them and thinking about it myself, I'm worried their projects and initiatives wouldn't survive the association with me. So I'll just say this.
He doesn't want to thank people too much because then DeSantis will veto their projects because he's a punitive guy like that. I mean, we've seen it already, so that's pretty funny. He thanks his whole class, whether Democrats or Republicans. He thanks his speaker. He thanks all kinds of aides and staff and everybody else. He thanks his in-laws for his mother-in-law being the best campaign volunteer ever.
To my mom and dad, who surprised me, showed up today from South Florida. I am so grateful that God found a way. Before I was ever born, to bring together a girl from Anniston, Alabama, and a boy from, yes, Kingston, Jamaica.
Yeah, Alex is Jamaican heritage.
Thank you for your unconditional love and for supporting me and raising me to the man I am today. Dad, thank you for setting the example for me of what it means to be a God-fearing, Christ-following husband and father.
And before he's going to get to thanking his wife, he had what, to me, was this is the most memorable thing from the speech. You ready?
I hadn't planned on talking about my grandmother, but when I put the suit on, I realized this was the suit that I eulogized and buried my grandmother in a couple years ago. Before you say, oh, the reason I remember that this is the suit is because my daughter Jillian was 10 months old at the time, and right after eulogizing my the greatest prayer warrior and patriot I have ever met, she threw up in the pocket of this suit. So this suit will always have some special memories for me.
And perhaps a special aroma, you know, like. All right, well, Representative Pocket Vomit, what else do you have to say?
To my wife, Jessica. My rock. The glue that keeps our family together. I will never be able to repay you for your grace, your understanding, and your love. Thank you for sharing your life with me. I have enjoyed countless blessings while serving in office, but none hold a candle to the blessing of being your husband. There's been no greater feeling in this office than the excitement I feel every week when I am rushing back home slightly above the speed limit on I-10 to be with you.
Just to keep up. He has a very heartfelt message to his daughters where he is, of course, looking forward to reading to them and hanging out with them. And somebody says, I don't want to be a heartless jerk, but isn't he just going into other office? No, he's not doing anything else. He's done. He's had enough.
I can get through this. All right. So, Jer Williamson, back in like late 2020 or early 2021, told a group we were with back home, you know, you never need to worry where Andrade's going to be in a figurative, keyword figurative, bar fight.
Because of the bar fight. that he got in.
He'll be the guy jumping over the table to have your back. Unfortunately, for my very real left eye socket, a few weeks after he made those comments, I found out that Jer was speaking just as much literally as figuratively.
Yeah, it turned out for a real thing, right?
Members, I share that to highlight the fact that I know I have not been a perfect representative. Like every other aspect of my life, and just as our founders anticipated, I have served in this role as a deeply flawed and imperfect human being in need of God's grace on a daily basis.
Amen. All of us.
I've learned more about myself and grown more in this process than I thought possible, and I am grateful for every second of it. But I would be remiss if I did not reiterate the greatest lesson I've learned over the past 8 years. It's not about me. And my time and energy are misspent every time I lose sight of the fact that I am called to serve something and someone who is greater than myself. And while I'm sure I'll fail again in my fidelity to that fact, in the words of the Apostle Luke in Acts, I did not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I can finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God.
Alex Andrade retiring, not resigning, but he termed out, so he's done and not running for higher office. Pretty fantastic speech yesterday, and wonderful to see that slice of somebody's life who, A, cares, and B, had his parents surprise him. All right, Jordan's got traffic on the fives.
Yeah, it looks like Florida Highway Patrol does have a new wreck right there at Detroit Boulevard and Gardenia Circle. So we'll keep an eye on that, see if anything starts to back up through that area. But speaking of backups, the main gate for NAS Pensacola, still seeing some slowdowns as you are heading there past the Shell station back towards Central Avenue. If you see anything else, let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You just fulfilled the first rule of law enforcement. Make sure when your shift is over, you go home alive. Here endeth the lesson.
Good morning, 659, News Radio 92.3. A quick check in the newsroom where David Wayne has got a headline or two for us. David?
Well, I certainly do. Severe weather causing chaos in the central U.S. There's reports of tornadoes touching down in Illinois, Indiana, Texas, and Oklahoma.
And that thing's going to get here tonight, overnight.
Absolutely.
Early hours tomorrow, 2, 3 a.m., something like that. So, yeah, be prepared for overnight and always have your plan, have your stuff ready, and don't be caught off guard.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 16.